The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. We humans live every moment of our lives within a complex web of rules. Some are official, the traffic code that requires us to stop at a red light, or the borough ordinance that requires us to get approval before we install a fence on our property. Other rules are not official, but are no less important to maintaining peace and harmony. Don't cut in line. Don't have loud conversations about personal matters on your cell phone while riding the train or bus or subway. Don't take seconds until everybody has had firsts. Ooh and ah over all babies, regardless of where they actually fall on the cuteness spectrum. This past week, I Googled rules to live by, and I'm pretty sure I could spend the next 3 months reading the search results. There are rules for financial success, and rules to live a happier life, and rules to live a simpler life. Some of the advice sounds pretty reasonable and common sense-ish. Always put your family first. Take care of your health. Listen to your gut. And then there's dance like no one is watching. Never kill a spider. Get a dog. The author, Robert Fulghum, has suggested that we learn all we need to know about the rules of life in kindergarten. Some of you may be familiar with Fulghum's list, which includes things like share everything, play fair, don't hit people, clean up your own mess, flush, take a nap every afternoon, and one of my favorites, when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Our gospel reading this morning sounded a bit like Jesus' rules to live by, didn't it? At least on the topic of conflict. The passage I read from the 18th chapter of Matthew could be cut and pasted into a procedural manual. If something goes wrong between people in the church, do this. If this doesn't work, do that. If that doesn't work, then do this other thing. If this other thing doesn't work, then that happens. Matter of fact, our congregation's constitution has a whole disciplinary process for members based on these verses. Section C 15.01, Discipline of Members and Adjudication. It's a shame we need such rules. And gosh, you wouldn't think the people Jesus had gathered around himself would need them. The disciples are living with Jesus, eating with him, basking in his presence, witnessing his miracles and his mercy and his compassion. And yet, Just a few verses before our gospel today, they are asking, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And a few verses after today's reading, the rest of the disciples are angry with James and John because their mother has asked Jesus to declare that they will be sitting at Jesus' side in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus saw quite clearly what humans could be like at their worst. Petty, jealous, vindictive, power-hungry, manipulative, argumentative, dense, unforgiving, petulant, bitter. And you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Over 2,000 years later, we are still petty and argumentative and unforgiving and bitter, even and sometimes particularly we church people. It reminds me of a story I heard a while ago about a man who was shipwrecked on a desert island, stranded all alone. He had been there for years, surviving on his own, always hoping that some ship would sail close enough to notice and rescue him. Eventually, a ship did notice and sent a small boat to check out the situation. As the small boat approached the shore, the man ran down to the beach, thrilled to see the rescue party. As those from the rescue party greeted the man, they noticed three buildings the man had built on the island. So they asked the man, "You've been here alone all this time. What are these different structures for?" "Why," the man said, pointing, "that one is my home where I live and sleep and eat." "Oh, okay. What's this second structure?" "Well," the man said, "that's my church. That's where I go to church." "Beautiful," the rescuers said. "How lovely." So they asked them, "What's this third building?" "Oh," the man said, "that's where I used to go to church." We laugh at a joke like that because we know the truth of it, just as Jesus did. We humans, even we who have been washed in the waters of baptism, joined to Christ's death and resurrection, claimed as God's own beloved children, called into community with our brothers and sisters, we often have a tough time of it. We argue about who's the greatest. We want to make sure that what we think should happen happens. We try to influence, control, or even dictate how things should be and what others should do, and get angry when we don't get our own way. Maybe sometimes it's just that we aren't paying attention to the words that are coming out of our mouth, not realizing how something sounds, saying something we didn't mean to say, implying something we had no intention of implying. And so we hurt people, and people hurt us. Sometimes the hurt is deep enough that it causes people to walk away from their faith community for good. We know that has happened here over the decades for all sorts of different reasons. There are people here in Carlisle who can point to First Lutheran and say, like our shipwrecked friend did, "That's where I used to go to church." Other times we don't leave our entire congregation behind, but we still leave someone in some way. Maybe you can even spot a person in this very room whom you politely avoid eye contact with, or pretend you don't see when you're at an event because of some old or new disagreement or wound. The kind of work Jesus calls us to do in today's gospel is not easy work. It's hard to tell someone they've hurt us. It's hard to listen to someone telling us we've hurt them. When disagreements aren't resolved, when they fester and escalate, the work Jesus calls us to do becomes even harder. Even harder, and even more important. Truth-telling, forgiving, giving each other the benefit of the doubt, reconciliation, apologizing, agreeing to disagree without being disagreeable. Without these things, the community of Christ's brothers and sisters falls apart. We lose the energy and enthusiasm we need to serve as God's hands and heart and mouth in the world. We fail God and each other. But when we, by the power and promised presence of Christ, do the work it takes to build our community up, when we share a word of peace with one from whom we've been estranged, when we utter words like, I'm sorry, and will you forgive me? When we stand around that table and see that every one of us reaching out for a piece of bread and a sip of wine is flawed and broken and sinful and wonderfully made, well, then we are changed, strengthened, blessed to once again go back out into the world. Watch out for traffic. Hold hands, stick together, and be the servants of Christ we have been called to be.